Grace and peace be with you all. Why were the bridesmaids locked out? No oil, they were unprepared. Why were the bridesmaids locked out? They left. Look back at the story. Why were they locked out? They left. It wasn't just that they were unprepared. They left. All the bridesmaids fell asleep. All 10 of them. You noticed that, right? It talks about stay awake. All 10 of them made the same mistake. All 10 of them fell asleep. We find this story in the Gospel of Matthew. We find this story in the Gospel of Mark. You know what else we find in Matthew and Mark? We find the disciples falling asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane before the crucifixion. We don't find this story, and we don't find the sleeping disciples in John or in Luke. It's a Matthew-Mark thing. Only Matthew and Mark have those two stories. Only Matthew and Mark have this commandment to keep awake, keep watchful. I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence at all that those bits are in the same Gospels. They were all told to be mindful. They were all told to keep awake. They all failed at it. None of them, none of the 10, accomplished what they wanted to do. The 5 who were locked out because they left. They messed up. Things were not the way they wanted. Things were not the way they intended them to be. They had no fuel. They forgot to bring enough lamp oil. They made a mistake. It happens. Fine. Life goes on. Things are not the way they want them to be. But they still would have been welcomed in if they'd shown up at the wedding. I did some research this past week about weddings and that culture and that time and that place. They still would have been welcomed in. They would have lost some face. It would have been embarrassing. You ever been embarrassed before? I've been embarrassed before. It didn't kill me. 2 months ago, I was standing up here before worship. I didn't wear my robe that day. I noticed just as we're beginning, pardon me, I hadn't zipped up my fly. One of you did notice, that pointed out to me. Fortunately, I noticed the same time. Do you know how hard it is to not keep checking yourself after that kind of thing? I still do it. As I'm telling you that story, I'm like, oh, wait, I did, right? Okay, good. Sure, it would have been embarrassing. They show up at the wedding without a lamp. It would have been embarrassing. They would have been let in. It wouldn't have been exactly how they wanted it to be. They might have felt a little silly. They might have felt a little bad. They would have been let in. The other 5 also looked bad too, remember? Because they also fell asleep. What happened right before they left? What gets shouted at midnight? Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. He's already there. Stop and think about how ridiculous this is. Jesus is a funny guy. I don't know if you realize that, because most of his jokes are in like Aramaic, translated into Greek, translated into English. But he's a funny guy. That's funny. It's midnight. The bridegroom shows up. They wake up. Look, the bridegroom is here. And what do the bridesmaids do, the 5 silly ones? They leave. He's already there. Have you ever had guests over at your house? And they knock on the front door, they ring the bell, the dog's barking, you know, maybe that's just my house, the kids start screaming, right? Whatever. You've had guests? Thank you for nodding, Liz, I appreciate that. That's true, I've been to your house. Someone knocks at your front door, you're expecting them. Do you then say to yourself, oh, wait, I meant to get some ice cream for dessert. I'm going to go out the back door and hope they don't notice. I'm sure they'll wait. It won't be a problem. You wouldn't do that, right? That's ridiculous. And it's midnight. I know that today we have 24-hour stores. I know that today, if that happened and you did for some reason leave, you could at least go down to 7-Eleven and be like, hey, I need a pint of something that's going to be overpriced because it's 7-Eleven. But you could do it, right? You couldn't do that here. Where did they go? Where are they thinking they're going to go to get lamp oil? Oh, wait, he's here? Oh, and we have no lamp oil. Oh, let's run out in the middle of the night into what? It's a ridiculous story when you stop and look at it. Their actions make no sense. Except they do make sense, because in their mind they're thinking, wait, okay, the script is we're supposed to have the lamp oil, and it's supposed to go this way, and if it doesn't go this way, it won't be perfect, and it's a wedding, and so it needs to be perfect, and so let's go and go get the lamp oil, and he won't notice, and it'll all be fine. I got married. My wedding was not perfect. Still married. I know Sarah isn't here, so it's kind of funny that I say that. We are still married. It's a St. Patrick's Day next week. She works at an Irish restaurant. She's a tired lady this morning. They could have gone to the wedding. It wouldn't have been exactly how they wanted it to be, but they were still welcome. They could have walked through those doors and been just fine. And instead they said, no, it has to be exactly like this. We're going to try and do our best to make it exactly like this. They acted out of fear. What do we keep saying around here? Be not afraid. They acted out of fear. They thought to themselves, oh, the bridegroom's here. Oh, I'm going to be embarrassed. Oh, I got to make sure it looks exactly the way we wanted it to be. It was too late to go to the store. I understand why they went. I understand why they went. And remember, it's a story, it's a parable. There weren't really five bridesmaids who were all sad. It didn't actually happen to them. Jesus was making a point. But they didn't have to go. They could have been, hey, sorry. It's not the way we wanted it to be. But we're still showing up. And they would have been welcomed. The past few weeks, we had five house meetings, and many of you have been in attendance of those. Sat down and talked with the quilters, done a lot of one-on-ones, shared coffee with some of you, which is always appreciated. Lunch with a few, dinner with some others. I've met with a few of you in the morning and some in the afternoon and some in the evening. Sometimes in person, sometimes on the phone. There have been emails and there have been text messages. And there's been a lot of conversation, a lot of listening, a lot of prayer, a lot of discernment. And I've said this to a few of you, but I want to say it again. I am so proud of you. And I am so proud to be your pastor. I am so proud to serve a congregation who is willing to look itself in the mirror and to ask some hard questions and then to act boldly in faith. Be not afraid. We're going to have an important meeting in just a little bit. Whatever route we are inclined toward during that, God is not done with us. Unless we choose to run away from God, unless we choose to say, you know what? I'm going to try and make it exactly the way it was, and I'm going to go to that midnight store and find some lamp oil in the middle of first century Palestine. Good luck with that, by the way. God is not done with us. There is still plenty of hope, and there is still plenty of opportunities for new life. And they abound, just so long as we act not out of fear, but out of faith. Those bridesmaids were perfectly welcome in whatever form they wanted to show up. Don't be like the five. Don't panic. God has not and will not leave us. Let us pray. Gracious God, give us strength, give us wisdom, give us courage. Give us the patience to act knowing that you are with us and that we are strengthened by you. Help us to be mindful of your call to love you, serve you, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to make disciples of all nations, and to share your message of love and peace with the world, and to put that above all else. We pray this trusting in your holy name. Amen.